I just kind of was able to just take a new track in my mind, and I think maybe that had something to do with the experience. I kind of like blew all the cobwebs out and was trying to reframe and get everything back into perspective, and since I lost my friend there. So in June 1988, 4 a.m. one morning, I was what I thought was experiencing a lucid dream. I've had a couple of those in my lifetime, but not too many. And what I saw was my friend George, basically was a holographic projection is what I later was able to tag the scientific spin to it. And he looked at me and had a smile on his face. But here's the real comical aspect that kind of tripped me up for about a year. He had this beachcomber hat on, and he had a luau shirt. Now, we had been in the South, and he was from Louisiana, and he was a raging Cajun, as he said many times to me. And so I said, well, that's not too unusual, but now here's the thing that really got to me. He had a row of flattened metal beer cans in the hat band of this beachcomber hat. Now, George and I, we had consumed a few liquid refreshments in our early military career, so that in itself was not too shocking, but I thought it was comical, even though this was a tremendous shattering experience for me. It really just rocked everything. I questioned my sanity initially. I knew I had seen this. I knew I'd had this experience. But what happened about a year after this encounter with my friend, I was reflecting on the funeral 6 months, or actually about that time, it had been about 18 months prior. And what leaped into my mind was this vision I had when I walked to the front of the funeral home in Huntsville, Alabama, and I looked down in his casket, and in my mind, because there was a lot of people present, including his mother and his brothers and sisters, and I wanted to be, of course, very respectful, and I was deeply in shock. But in my mind, I projected down to my friend. I said, okay, George, a joke is a joke. Let's go get a beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? So what happened to me then, George, was that I reflected on that, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I realized that he had read my mind, that he had not died, that the vision I had, although it was more than a vision, this was no ghostly appearance, this was a very solid, three-dimensional-looking person that was standing in front of me that 4 a.m. in that June morning, 1988. But I realized that he was confirming, he was giving me a confirmation. He heard my little joke that I was making, and he was reflecting it back to me. And like I say, about a year after that experience, I started this massive research campaign trying to reconcile science and spirit into one paradigm, you might say.
How do you know you weren't hallucinating because of your grief?
I think a person who goes through these types of experiences has to immediately question what is going on with them.
Sure.
And I did that. And it took me about a year. But once I got that confirmation, George, everything just clicked into place. And I knew the sense of it, the feel of it, the circumstances of it, the message that was given to me. Because the experience I had with my friend was one of energy. It was energetic, and I realized that I could feel this sense. It was more than telepathy. You hear people talk about mind-to-mind communication. It's really more than that. When you have these experiences, there's a felt sense to them. It just kind of just rocks you, and I had that type of experience that morning. So again, on an objective level, certainly someone listening to me has to go, well, maybe he tipped a couple too many the night before or something, but that wasn't the case. This was not brought on by illness or alcohol or drugs.
Were you a believer in the hereafter prior to George's death?
I was, but in a very traditional sense. I'd even wanted to be a chaplain at one time in the military, and after I got out of the Army, out of active duty, I actually took my family down to Texas Christian University Bright Divinity School and began the Master of Divinity program after I graduated from college. But I didn't have any metaphysical background whatsoever. I never read until I was about 40 years of age, late 30s, right after this experience, by the way, with my friend George, I had never picked up a metaphysical book in my life. The only thing I ever read was science and physics and math and chemistry.
Sure. I mean, you were a research scientist for crying out loud.
Exactly.
Well, what about George? Did he believe in the hereafter? Did you guys talk about that before this heart attack occurred?
You know, we did. And as I say, it was usually over hotly contested chess games and cold beer.
Yeah.
And he was raised very traditional Catholic, and we had very interesting exchanges because I was not raised in a religious family. But in the sense that, you know, it was open. All these topics were open for discussion in my home to a certain extent, but mainly it was just kind of neutral. I mean, I never heard anything bad, good, or indifferent about religious people or religious systems as a child. I had a wonderful grandparents. My grandfather was a Seattle Police Department officer for 30 years, and so anyway, I had some kind of reservation, I guess, against organized religion per se. But I didn't have any training in it, and so George really tried to educate me on the Catholic faith and all the things he'd been through, and I found it fascinating. I mean, I was just like a kid in a candy store. I said, you know, George, tell me more. What's this ritual about? What's all this stuff going on here, you know? And so he would. He'd be very kind, and he was a very kind and is a very kind, soft-spoken person. And because I want to bring him back in the present tense here, I know for a fact he's not deceased, so, you know, I need to kind of remember that sometimes. But I just wanted to really look at how this could happen to someone that's so left-brain as myself. And once I realized that his physical body was changed, that what I saw was someone who no longer was flesh and bones, but yet very, very three-dimensional in form. But George looked like, other than the clothing he had on, he looked like a clear water or a crystallized
version of himself.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't know how many years it was, but at one time I started looking at the writings of Sir Isaac Newton, you know, and Newton, you know, was the classical physics and mathematics, etc. But, you know, he was quite a metaphysician, and once I realized I had a kindred spirit in Newton himself, I really, you know, turned up the juice in terms of researching this and integrating science and spirit. But, you know, Newton said, he said this is a direct quote, one sentence. He said, "The changing of bodies into light and light into bodies is very comfortable to the course of nature, which seems delighted in these transmutations, in fact."